Hello, and welcome to the Musical Minds podcast, where it is our job to flesh out the mindset and ways to cope with the struggles that ensue in becoming a high-performing musician. Hosted by Eric Reinhardt and Jake Pietroniro. Now let's get on to the show.
All right, so we're live with the Musical Minds podcast, and I have here with me James Newcomb of the Musicpreneur podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Eric. Good to be here.
So why don't we start off with just what you're most excited about, maybe in your business or with relation to music?
Man, what I'm excited about is just the opportunity to have a platform where people can share their stories, their victories, their struggles, and share it with other people. Like just this morning, I'm a member of a Facebook group of bloggers, and someone that I've never met and I've never had any interaction with posted a comment on this group, said, "I'm really inspired by the Musicpreneur podcast." I was like, "Man, you can't buy that type of whatever you want to call it, love or whatever." It's just like, it's like this podcast is like me being me. And it's one thing to get praise for a job that you do that you don't really like and you don't really care one way or another whether or not you have it. You could walk away from it tomorrow and never miss it. And it's great to get praise in a job like that. But then when you get praise, when you're really expressing yourself and when you're doing what you know you were put on this earth to do, when people, like even if one person downloads your podcast, you're like, wow, someone is really getting the real me. And so that's what I'm most excited about right now.
Awesome. Yeah. I've experienced that with like just playing in public. And something that I've been struggling with is kind of building the traction on the online format, whether it's podcast or like YouTube channel. Is there any recommendation that you have for getting that traction and listenership? And yeah.
My son is right next door. He's having a temper tantrum right now.
Okay.
I don't can you hear it? Because if you can't hear it, we'll just proceed.
I can't hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my trusty ATR 2100 is picking up what it's supposed to pick up.
Is that the Tim Ferriss recommendation?
I think Tim recommends something else. I was reading Tools of Titans, and he recommends something else. But John Lee Dumas recommends it. And Kate Erickson uses it on her podcasts. And I can't speak highly enough of it. I have a $400 microphone and then a $60 ATR 2100. And this one is like perfect.
Yeah, actually really, I was trying to just spam through all the podcasts yesterday. Cause I'm fairly new to the Musicpreneur. And I noted like how nice the audio quality is.
Yeah, man. Thanks
on your show. So, props to you. So we were talking about just getting traction. On your podcast, and if you had any thoughts on that.
Just focus on one niche. The riches are in the niches. So if you want to have a podcast and it's just like, we're going to talk about music. Well, it's like, there's so many rabbit trails that you could follow with a podcast that talks about music. Like my first podcast was called Outside the Music Box.
Yeah.
And it was fun. I got to talk to a lot of cool people, but it was sort of like a hybrid of Entrepreneur on Fire, or at least my pitiful attempt to be Entrepreneur on Fire, meets like Tim Ferriss, meets this and meets that, and talked on all range of subjects and genres. But when I first started to have real success was when I niched down. And I focused on my instrument, which is the trumpet. And had a podcast called Trumpet Dynamics, which went for from January of 2016 until, well, it's about to go off the air in April. So, yeah, man, that's how you gain traction, is you talk about one specific thing that you are an expert at. Mm-hmm. You are a subject matter expert, or you want to know more about it. And it's like,
yeah,
you go to iTunes and you type in trumpet and you see trumpet dynamics. Mm-hmm. So that's how you get noticed. And then really after that is just be consistent, put out consistently good content, stick with one format, and just be predictable. That's really how you can do it. If you say you're going to produce an episode every Monday, do it every Monday. Even if you don't have the content that you expected to have that Monday, do something. Be consistent. Be predictable. That's how you gain traction.
Nice. That's great advice. You have your Tuesday regular thing. Yeah. What does that stand for? I forget.
Tools, techniques, tactics, and occasional tough love.
Okay, perfect. Nice. And then you also, something that I wanted to like praise you for is just like your consistency of regularly putting out something. I think every day you're daily vlogging or daily audio blogging. Is that right?
Yeah, I send something to my email list 6 days a week. So Sunday to Friday, I send an email.
So are you generating new ideas every single day, or are you kind of batching that?
Yeah, I write process? Every single day. I write something new, and I follow a theme. I've identified six core principles that I think that musicpreneurs should follow. The first is to be a musician first. Trust that the money will follow. The second is to be an entrepreneur. The third is to be innovative. Fourth is to be healthy. Fifth is to be knowledgeable about like just basic principles of liberty, capitalism, stuff like that. And then the sixth is to be just be yourself, individuality. So like that's the format that I use. Sunday, I talk about music. Monday, I talk about entrepreneurship, et cetera, et cetera. So that's sort of the template that I use for each day.
That's really cool. And that kind of like helps you frame your writing into a certain camp and keeps it fresh for yourself, I'd imagine.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, nice. The one that I in particular kind of keyed into was health. for me, that has been something that I've let go because I'm relatively new to making music my full-time focus. I graduated university like 2 years ago with a biochemistry degree and then started pursuing piano at that point, even though I had musical training outside of that. And so like last year, as I was like leading up to a couple of recitals, I stopped my regular physical activity and I was like just a basket case. I was just like an anxiety mess and wasn't really getting very far as my efficient practice or whatever. So that's the one that I particularly keyed into because I really need to kind of maintain that level of balance, even though I want to spend more time on practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to neglect and it's easy to fall into disrepair. Like if you allow your body and your mind to like health is just like keeping your oil fresh in your car. Mm-hmm. It's like eating right, getting enough rest, and it's very easy to forget that. And then all of a sudden you're burning out with the one thing that you were like 2 years ago, you were passionate about, and now you're all burned out. And trace it back. Well, you didn't get enough sleep, or you drank too much coffee, had too much beer, too many beers every night. It's just easy to neglect, but it's one of the most important things you can do to make sure that you stay on top of your game.
Yeah, that kind of like directly sums up what I did. I started drinking a lot of coffee, and then felt like my day-to-day motivation was starting to dwindle. So that's kind of funny that you just like touched on this.
Well, I was just drinking. I was drinking too much coffee too, and I just have to put a limit, like no coffee after 9 a.m. and like max 3 cups before 9 a.m. After that, no more coffee.
Mm-hmm. It definitely, for me, kind of limits my creativity in a sense of like the immediacy of fighting each fire kind of makes it hard to think in this like global scale, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I would drink coffee just because it was there. Like I'd have stuff left over in the French press and it'd be 3 o'clock mm-hmm. in the afternoon. And it's like, oh, there's still a cup of coffee left. I'm going to drink it. And then an hour later, I'm like, dude, what were you thinking? Mm-hmm. And I would keep doing it over and over and over. And it's, you just have to dump it out, you know?
Yeah. Do you know if JLD's a coffee drinker?
He is.
Okay. He has great energy on his podcast.
He does.
Yeah. And that's admirable and something that I need to work on, I think.
Well, you listen to episode 1 of John. And yeah, he didn't quite bring it the way he does now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd imagine that it gets better with practice, like everything.
Yes. Yes.
Something that I wanted to touch on was like, so in your podcast with him, he gave you the question of like, if you had $500 and no contacts or whatever, and then you said that you'd buy a trumpet and open up your case and start collecting an email list.
Yeah.
And so, last year is when I started to get more into busking, and found it incredibly enjoyable for a couple of reasons, serving people. And I live in a small town, so it's like people have never seen buskers before, or it's pretty rare.
Oh, what's a busker?
Just somebody who opens up their case and starts playing.
Okay.
So I brought my piano out to like my local Whole Foods, and I've like played outside a couple times, and they've like invited me inside when they're like trying to promote sales and stuff. Nice. So
cool, man.
But I've never collected an email list, and would you speak to, do you regularly play in public now, like, or is that not something that you do much of?
I'm looking to get more into the scene here. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina, and we've been here for 7 months now, and I've been so like hit nose to the grindstone with podcasting. I've had a few gigs, but I really haven't played that much. So I'm looking to get, looking to get more connected into the scene here in Raleigh, Durham. And, so I've played a couple of times with a symphony, the North Carolina Symphony, which is a fabulous ensemble, man. I was in the Army for 10 years, and to go from the Army, and I'm not talking about the Army band in Washington, D.C. Those guys are pretty good. But I'm talking about like fresh out of high school talent that I'm playing alongside. Now I went into the North Carolina Symphony. I was like, whoa, man, this is the way, this is the way real professionals sound. So
yeah,
not knocking the Army nor any more than I have to, but it was nice. But so I've done that a few times. Yeah. I'm playing at Duke Chapel for Easter.
Mm-hmm. That's a solo concert. Is that right?
No, it's just, it's like a brass ensemble. It's for an Easter service.
Oh, okay. Got it. Just because I remember that you were talking about how you reach out to like local churches.
Yeah. I'm trying to get, I'm reaching out and trying to get into the scene. So I'm in the process of doing that right now.
Yeah. Is there any particular dialogue that you use regularly with those people?
Yeah, I just say, hey, I play trumpet. Do you want to have a concert?
and that's really,
it's just like this podcast. You just keep it organic and just make it clear this is what I'm offering. And like, I'm not going to charge you guys any money, but if I can have you guys, if you have your members give a love offering or something, help with my expenses. I'm more concerned with exposure and with just building up credibility and reputation than money in those situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. for me, like, something that I got burned on, and let me know if this is any experience to what you have, is I found that, like, playing the restaurants, and I was doing a couple of retirement homes, it wasn't for the money. And like even busking, I would make twice as much as I would make like in a restaurant. And, mm-hmm. For some reason, I had this, like, I don't know if it's like a nasty habit of mine, but, just like, like burning bridges with these venue owners because they want to do it their way, or, I don't know. And like, it's completely different than the busking experience, where everyone is really grateful and don't have to deal with a lot of that negativity. Like, have you had any of that experience?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But there is a difference between what you're talking about. Like, if you get hired to play at, I don't know, where was it, like a bar you were playing at, or?
Yeah. Okay. It was a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just providing a different experience in each setting. So when you're busking, mm-hmm. you're on your own and you're doing what you want to do, and that makes you happy. It makes other people happy. That's great. If you get hired by a restaurant to play, well, you're not there to play what you want to play. You're there so that you can provide an experience that the restaurant owner needs to keep his patrons happy, his or her patrons. So mm-hmm. you're not, it's like you're like an entrepreneur, but you're not doing it for you. That's the difference between the two. It's like, you are there to provide a specific service, and that mm-hmm. service is to provide the atmosphere, the mood that that restaurant owner wants and needs to keep mm-hmm. their patrons happy.
That's the, would you say that's the, like, discrepancy between the entrepreneurship and the individuality? You're 2 and 6, I think. Or,
well, yeah, I mean, the way that I put it is, you hear a lot of words thrown around with musicians these days about entrepreneurship, diversifying, creating multiple streams of income. That's all really good mm-hmm. advice. You should mm-hmm. absolutely do that. If you think that you're going to like win a gig somewhere and then that's going to be your job for the next 40 years, though, I mean, mm-hmm. those days are over. There was a time when that was the case. And in some cases, it's still possible, but there are so few opportunities like that. Like 50 years ago, just about every small town, or every town over the size of 100,000 in the United States, had a symphony orchestra, full-time symphony orchestra. And so mm-hmm. if you majored in trumpet performance at a reputable school and you did well and your teachers gave you good grades and were willing to pass your name on, you had a pretty good shot of winning a job and being employed with an orchestra for mm-hmm. years and years and years. And it was just a matter of, it was just a numbers game. You do so many auditions and then you finally win one. I mean, those days are over. Like mm-hmm. there are fewer and fewer orchestras that are full-time. More and more are cutting down their services. More and more are going part-time. So yeah, you have to diversify. But what good is diversifying mm-hmm. if, like, you're just at the same pond that you always were with five fishing lines, trying to catch the same old fish as everyone else? That's mm-hmm. not entrepreneurship. An entrepreneur is someone who creates mm-hmm. something of value, mm-hmm. not necessarily, you don't want to be an employee five times over. So that's, and everyone is going to define that differently. I'm not trying to give any clear cut. Mm-hmm. This is what an entrepreneur is and isn't. That's just mm-hmm. the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. So for you, that takes in the form of like developing your online presence. It sounds
Online presence. Seems like. Be an affiliate for stuff. I'm working on a program right now called Secrets of the Musical Mind that is still in the very early phases. We had a course and my partner dropped out. He just got discouraged because sales were lower than we thought. And he just said, forget this. I don't want any part of this. And put me in a bad spot, put sort of a little egg on my face. But you know what? It's still a good concept. It's still a good idea. And so sort of working on a membership type of scenario where people pay X amount of dollars a month and they get access to articles, webinars on the topic of the psychology of being a musician. So it's very, very early phases. So a lot of variables to play out, but yeah, I mean, that's entrepreneurship, is creating something that no one has asked you to create. I mean, people, there is a demand and you can sense that there's a demand. So in a way people are asking you to create it, but like you don't have a boss saying, hey, James, go create this, or go Eric, go, go create this course. You have to take the initiative, be proactive on your own.
In order to find what people want, have you gotten into like keyword searches on Google to help name your stuff? Or is it just kind of like this sensing your own pain points and developing something around that?
Yeah, I mean, the way I am not an expert on SEO, not at all. So I've tinkered with that, but I'm by no means an expert. But who isn't concerned with stage fright? Who doesn't deal with stage fright? Everyone deals with stage fright. And so that is the lure that I use to get people interested in my program. So, I mean, stage fright, yes, but the solution to stage fright is just being a complete person, integrating music with your entire personality. Once you do that, and once you're making music that you know is a reflection of you, you're going to get nervous, but you're not going to be anxious about it. You're going to be anxious to share music. You're not going to be, you're going to be anxious in a good way.
Yeah, I actually read that chapter from that was provided in your email link.
Oh, cool.
That's free to everybody.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I just like went through it, and there was a couple things that really resonated with me. It sounded similar to, I don't know if you read the book, The Inner Game of Music.
I've read The Inner Game of Tennis, and I started to read The Inner Game of Music and found the one on tennis more interesting.
Okay. Yeah, but his like talking about the mind's eye and getting tuned into the senses, those all sound very similar. Let me know if this resonates with you. It feels like I sort of developed a like sense of greater stage fright as I was going further down the rabbit hole of music, like starting at beginner and then going to some level of intermediate play. And then in that intermediate, like, I knew nothing. Does that sound, or does that make sense?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it's sort of an incomplete picture of the problem. So,
yeah.
So you started out, and then you have these big visions of what you want to do, and then you go out to do it, and you realize, wow, this is a lot tougher than I thought. And then anxiety sets in. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, over the course of year and a half or so, I ended up getting more self-conscious about my playing the further I got into it. And the more I like put it into a place of my identity, I guess. Because if I'm not a great piano player, then yes. Because I said goodbye to, or I pivoted away from something else that I was pretty good at, which was biochemistry, and you know, like my main focus. And so then I like ended up turning that into my identity, and so yeah.
Well, I mean, it just sounds like you just have to get comfortable in your own skin as a performer. I mean, it sounds to me like it's we need more than a simple podcast interview to really dive into it.
Yeah.
But I think I can understand where you're coming from.
Okay. I was gonna say, is there just one thing that you could help you get to this place of greater fulfillment, or for you, or just your own personal experience? If you've had that problem or state of wholeness, somewhat fragmented, maybe in your mentality.
Man, to tell you the truth, I don't totally understand the problem that you're presenting. So I have to pass on giving an answer.
Okay. That's fine. All right. Let me just go to my notes real quick, because there's a couple things that I wanted to, that I wanted to highlight.
No problem.
Okay. So this one, actually, I think you will find, or it has been a pain point for me, is providing structure to your day when your day is relatively open-ended as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. How do you tackle that problem?
How do I tackle it? Using the best thing that I have found is to use Hal Elrod's formula in The Miracle Morning. And what he mm-hmm. uses is an acronym, SAVERS. And that is spelled mm-hmm. out. S is silence, so 10 minutes of meditation. A is affirmations. Affirm that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, that you are going to provide value to people, et cetera, et cetera. V is visualization. Visualize what success looks like. E is exercise. That goes back into the health type of thing. R is reading. And S is scribing or writing down. So that's... In my life, I have a 3-year-old, so talk about fragmented. It's very difficult to, I have little pockets of productivity that I'm able to get stuff done when he's not interrupting me. Like 45 minutes here, 45 minutes there. And so mm-hmm. when I have those 45 minutes, man, I am focused and just getting stuff done. But mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, there are tools that you can do. I personally recommend the Freedom Journal, John Lee Dumas's Freedom Journal. And I'm not saying that because mm-hmm. John is paying me. I'm saying it because I used it and it was effective. So mm-hmm. it's like thefreedomjournal.com. I'm not a walking billboard for him. I just like the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, you just, sometimes it's very difficult to stay on track, but something like that, I would recommend just something that is, you write down what you want to do and then don't quit for that day until you're done with it.
How do you integrate like a dedicated time to practice as well, as part of your day still, or are you at a phase in your life where in your musicianship that isn't as great of a priority?
It's becoming more of a priority because I'm looking to get more involved in the playing scene here. So mm-hmm. Practicing fell off my radar as far as priorities, but it's getting back on there. So, you know, obviously once I get a gig booked, that's going to be like when I get a full length solo concert booked, that's going to be some motivation. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have to do this. And I think sometimes your priorities are dictated by what's on your schedule. So if you don't have any gigs booked, you're probably not going to practice. I mean, maybe you are when you're 19, but if you're 40 and you've got a wife and a son and trying to make ends meet, if you don't have gigs, you're not going to practice. And that's just the way it is. So, you just mm-hmm. have to get stuff on your schedule, and that's the motivation you need to get your face on the horn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, definitely. Yeah. Signing up for either a recital definitely does that because you have that looming over your head.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you heard of Drum Corps by chance?
Oh yes. Okay. I was in the Madison Scouts in 1994.
Oh, awesome. I marched Mandarins and then Blue Devils from 11 to 14.
Cool.
So that, yeah. Props to the Scouts.
Yeah. Well,
they put on some good shows. Scouts,
they're cool. I like them, but man, the 90s were like the prime of the Madison Scouts. Those were some phenomenal. Oh my goodness. Jaw dropping. Madison Scouts of the 90s. You take any show and they would just blow the skin off of your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
They were so good. And they're good now, but they're a little more tame than they were. But the 90s were, God, golden age of drum corps, I think.
Mm-hmm.
1990s was the golden age of drum corps.
Yeah, there's definitely some good shows. I think Blue Devils 92 is one of my favorites. Mm.
94, Blue Devils had a good show in 94. They did Chick Corea's music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure if I've seen that show, but the When a Man Loves a Woman, I can't remember what year that is. But
yeah, Madison did Cities of Angels in 92.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't born at that point.
Right.
young gun. So one thing that I wanted to touch on is in the Secrets of the Musical Mind,
yeah,
you talk about this desire to constantly consume information. Okay. which is definitely like my tendency. How do you, or what do you tell yourself to say like, no, I already know enough and I now need to start creating, because by your definition of entrepreneurship, you have to create. But I get into this sense that sometimes I just like, I tell myself that I don't know enough to even start. What do you say to yourself to get that process moving, or do you have that tendency?
Everyone has that tendency. I mean, there is so much information on the internet, and like, let's just talk about podcasting, because that's what we're doing right now. Like, if you want to start a podcast and be successful with it, there are hundreds of people that can show you how to do it, and they will walk you through it, and they will tell you how to be successful. Mm-hmm. But they all show something. There's always a slight variation on how to do it. So my answer is to just find that one person. My one person when it comes to podcasting is John Lee Dumas. And I say that with all due respect to everyone that can teach podcasting just as well, if not better, than John Lee Dumas. But he's my guy. And if I were to try to learn something from everyone that has something to say on it, even if they're world-class teachers, you just have to come to a point where you're like, you just have to shut it out. And you just have to focus on that one person or that one resource that is going to be that, like, this is my resource. This is where I go to learn about podcasting. So you just have to learn how to filter, commit yourself to that one program, that one person, and just stick with them. You just dance with the one that brought you to the dance.
That really resonates with me. Because last year I was taking from like three teachers at one time.
Right.
And I realized how conflicting it was.
Yes.
And then I just recently went to a self-development seminar beginning of March with Brendan Burchard of The Charge Life.
Yeah.
And like how I'm like prepared to have him be my guru in things like positive psychology and life philosophy. Just because you don't have to constantly fact check everything that he's saying, because because you have this level of trust that he's going to provide the proper information to you and not lead you astray. Derek Sivers, do you know who Derek Sivers is?
Yes, I do.
He has like a tenet of, he was making all of these books into directives, and rather than having to read a 400-page book, you can read a half page to a couple sentences of, this is what you need to do from the book. As long as you trust the person who is condensing down the information, you don't have to have half the book, which is all part of it. The half the book is trying to prove why it's right. Right. And so, if you trust the source, then you don't necessarily have to spend all this time reading a 400-page book, as long as you trust the source. So that was cool.
Yeah, that's an interesting
come up with that.
Derek Sivers always has an interesting way of looking at everything.
yeah, he's definitely a role model for me.
Yeah, for a lot of people.
Do you take notice of him through the Tim Ferriss Show, or had you known him before that?
I first heard of him. Well, I'd obviously heard of CD Baby, but I didn't connect Derek with CD Baby until I read his book, which is called Everything You Want or Anything You Want, one of those two. And I think I read that in 2011, and that's when I became familiar with him. And man, just really to the point, really concise, and he really packs a punch in every single word. He's very thoughtful, very, he's one person that I'd like to have on the Musicpreneur podcast. But I don't think he does interviews, except for very, very close friends, of which I am not. Mm. So we'll see.
Yeah, he's the hermit lifestyle. Yeah, probably keeps him creative. That's probably how he stays creative. Like
probably, that. You're probably right.
Well, I'm kind of at a loss of anything further that we could talk about. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, I'd like to. Well, you mentioned already that I have a free PDF for anyone who's interested. It's called Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Stage? It's 5 pages. It'll take you 10 minutes at the most to read, and it's just a couple of tips that you can employ to help overcome stage fright or help confront stage fright and turn those pesky nerves into an asset rather than a liability. So very easy to get it. Just go to secretsofthemusicalmind.com, and that's going to be the first thing that you see right on that page is a little form to fill out your email address so we know where to send the PDF, and very, very easy to get. So secretsofthemusicalmind.com, and of course musicpreneur.com is where you can find out all about the podcast.
Cool. Thank you, James. Really appreciate you making out the time.
It's carved out. My pleasure, Eric.
Yeah, I'll be listening.
All right.
All right. All right. Take care.
Okay. See you.
Hi there. This is Eric here. I just wanted to thank you for listening into the Musical Minds podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, as you hear from every other show, if you could please like or subscribe and comment, that really, really helps with our visibility, especially as a new podcast. So I really appreciate it. We really appreciate it. It really does make a difference in being able to have feedback to be able to fine-tune what is resonating with you guys, the listeners. Remember, there are so many musicians out there in the world just wanting to better themselves. You're not alone, even though it can feel really, really lonely sometimes. I can totally understand that. You can find me at ericreinhartpiano.com. That's ericreinehart for recordings and information about Skype piano lessons. Until next time, continue feeding the fire of your musical passions and developing your musical mind. Thank you. The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.